Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
Good morning to you, Andrew. Thanks for joining us. And again, if you're welcome to call in with a question, 252-247-7282. Andrew Foster with Harvell and Collins with us this morning here in the studio. So what's the topic today? I'm curious.
Well, Lockwood, you know, we like to venture into new territory on life and taxes. You know, a lot of times we do Celebrity Corner, which is where we take a celebrity's estate planning, either failures or successes, and talk about what lessons we can learn. You know, we have Tax Court Thursday, where we go into details regarding, you know, tax court cases and how that could affect our listeners moving forward. Today is more of kind of what I will say is just an interest story. You know, it got me because the individual who's involved is from my hometown of Fayetteville. And it got me also because the subject matter is near and dear to this area, which is the fact that we have a Supreme Court case, U.S. Supreme Court, not North Carolina Supreme Court, regarding copyright law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's regarding the media coverage of Blackbeard's
right.
ship. And this is fascinating because we have a Fayetteville videographer involved. His name's Rick Allen. And he has now sued the state of North Carolina for using his video that he has shot regarding the salvage of Blackbeard's ship. And the question ultimately becomes, does he have the power, does he have the right to sue the state for damages for violation of a copyright law? And the state throws up the big stop sign, Lockwood, and says, no, Mr. Allen, you cannot sue the state because the state has sovereign immunity and we are not liable for damages associated with violations of copyright law. And this has made its way up. It started in the federal district court, Lockwood. And the federal district court said, your suit can move forward, Rick Allen. You shot these videos. You filed your copyrights successfully. There's a law that says that the state can be held accountable that was passed back in the 90s regarding violation of copyrights. So we're going to allow your suit to move forward. It then goes up to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, where they struck down that law that provides that you can sue the state under copyright laws, saying it was unconstitutional. So they said, the Fourth Circuit basically said, Lockwood, that we believe that sovereign immunity trumps this law that was passed in the 90s regarding allowing, you know, individuals to sue the state for copyright infringement. So we come now to the United States Supreme Court, you know, and the issue at hand is, you know, who this intellectual property, you know, is the state going to be liable for using these images? And what they did, Lockwood, was basically, you know, Rick Allen said he was fine with, for instance, the Maritime Museum over in Beaufort posting his videos for exhibits.
Right.
He allowed that to happen. But then, of course, the state goes a little bit farther and starts putting videos on YouTube and other sites.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the legislature actually went as far as to pass what they call Blackbeard's Law,
right,
which said anything that was recovered, you know, anything, any videos, any media that was shot regarding the salvage is going to be allowed to be, the state's going to allow to be used it because it's a public record. So they really just threw the hammer at Rick Allen. And what's at stake at the Supreme Court, Lockwood, is really, you know, who's responsible? Because one of the interesting things yesterday when the U.S. Supreme Court heard the case was the questions they got. You know, and Justice Breyer saying, what would prevent the state then from, you know, running movies?
Right.
Running Spider-Man and Rocky, and he even said Groundhog Day, which was, I thought, pretty funny. You know, what would prevent them from running movies, and then collecting a fee, and then when the production company tries to sue the state, they say, no, we're not liable. We have sovereign immunity. You know, and that's an interesting proposition with regards to this matter, because you can see how the state, what the state's position is. Obviously, they don't want to be responsible for being sued for this type of copyright infringement, because the penalties are excessive. You know, it's $150,000 per violation is what the federal law provides for copyright infringement. So, of course, what the state says is that would, you know, cause a detriment to the taxpayers of the state. 41 states joined North Carolina in their objection to this lawsuit, saying that they believe sovereign immunity upholds. But then you have some interesting amicus curiae on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Oracle,
right,
the software company, filed an amicus brief in this particular matter, stating that the state of Oregon, who contracted with them
exactly
regarding software to implement the Obamacare website, then Oregon didn't pay. You know, they said, well, this is copyrighted material. You can't just take our software and use it and then not pay us. So, you know, you get into this issue, which is how far can the state go if they cannot be held accountable? Now, again, the state of North Carolina, what they say is, rather than seek damages in this particular regard, the proper remedy should be an injunction.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to file your action and say, take this down. You're violating my copyright.
Right.
And then the judge can make a decision about whether or not the copyright's been violated and order the state to take the material down, stop using the software in the terms of Oregon. But, you know, is that enough? Is that enough protection for an individual? You know, reading Rick Allen's story is fascinating, Lockwood. I encourage all of our listeners to go to the Fayetteville Observer and look up the stories on this. I'll try to post them to our Facebook page. Because, you know, Rick Allen, when he contracted with the outfit that ended up discovering Blackbeard's ship, he said, I'll come and video this whole experience starting in 1995 all the way up through the salvage process. And he didn't get a single dollar from that company,
right,
for doing it. He said, I will market my materials. I'll make books. I'll publish videos.
Mm-hmm.
I will use this, and I'll give you 25% of the proceeds that I make from this. So, you know, he's coming down here and using his time, labor, effort, energy, everything he can to produce this material. And then ultimately the state just goes and puts it on their website.
And uses it beyond what they initially planned. The other aspect of that, and of course the Sunday Carter County News Times, who was the first to break the story on the Supreme Court, the fact that they were hearing this. I'm looking at the website. I'm on the web looking right now. This harkens back to a situation, and I think it was UCLA, where a student, his image was used by the university, a basketball player, as I recall.
Ed O'Bannon.
Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah.
And it created a law, did it not? Mm-hmm. Is that connected?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those situations when the state's involved, you know, how far can their reach go? You know, and I think that's what it is, especially when you've got this matter where there's agreements, Lockwood. It's so ironic in this particular case, because the initial discovery of the vessel, there was an agreement to allow them to have all rights to media, basically,
right.
With the exception of educational rights for the state. And then they actually went through this and contracted with a company, Rick Allen's company, and he produces all this material. And ultimately he gives some. Like I said, the Maritime Museum got coverage that he gave to them.
Right.
And then they just want to go a little bit farther. And they want to go a little bit farther. And you know, where does that line, all of a sudden they've crossed this line where the estate's violated this copyright and they should be held accountable. Now I'll tell you, you know, my reading of the articles out there, and I've read a number of them, it doesn't look like the U.S. Supreme Court is likely to come down on Rick Allen's side. I'll say that. And the reason I say that is because the judges were skeptical. Breyer mentioned the whole movie thing. So he seems to be maybe on Rick Allen's side, maybe not. Ginsburg, she was also seemed to be teetering towards Rick Allen's side. But a number of the conservative justices who, you know, let's be frank and honest, they do believe in states' rights a little bit more. Limit the constitutional reach. I could see them striking this down.
Here's the question. what faith do you have if you enter into a contract with the state? I mean, and we're talking every simple contract,
yeah.
Highway development, building a highway, manufacturing something for the state.
Yeah.
For example, as you mentioned, Oracle, mm-hmm. creating something that would be useful for the states in the initiation or development of a federal program. They just simply acquire it and then use it and then not pay a copyright fee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the whole issue of copyright and royalties, and I was laughing about that with someone yesterday about that very topic. I said, wait a second. They were talking about an article that appeared in the Carter County News Times, and it got a lot of play. It was a letter to the editor, and it got a lot of national play. As a matter of fact, even a former national host of our program, Rush Limbaugh, read it over the air. And I laughed, and I said, seems to me we should have gotten a royalty for it.
There you go.
No, this is a worrisome issue for anyone
Correct.
Who's going to do business with the state.
So decision by June, we'll keep the listeners updated. But, you know, it is a fascinating story, and I encourage all of our listeners to read the News Times as well as any other publications.
It was a major page, a whole page in the Wall Street Journal yesterday.
That's right. That's right.
So, North Carolina.
Local story.
Yeah, local story and the Maritime Museum. And, of course, it is ironic. We are talking about a pirate.
Piracy, exactly. We got piracy going on.
Andrew Foster with us this morning here at Life and Taxes at Harvell and Collins. Just to remind you, feel free to give him a call, 252-826-9050, 9050. And they're located at 1107 Bridges Street, Morehead City. That's Life and Taxes, but definitely Harvell and Collins. Andrew Foster. Andrew, thanks for being with us.